I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church every Sunday, but I really didn't have much faith in God. I just went to church and just like one of the kids that sat in the back and not really paying attention. I was mostly interested in getting a black belt in Taekwondo. During Taekwondo, I was practicing for my black belt and I was putting on my uniform. I got a sudden feel of pain and my vision was blurred and I fell. I got a CAT scan and 2 or 3 days later, my mom and my dad took me into their room and sat me on their bed and told me that I was diagnosed with cancer. At that moment, it felt like my life just stopped. When I got cancer, I actually just was wondering, like, why God, why did you give this to me? I just felt like I wasn't a part of the world anymore. I was afraid of dying because since I was so worried about was I going to heaven or hell, it made me feel like if I died, I would go to hell and just not have a chance to do anything about it. It just made me feel really sad about it. My grandmother was actually a survivor of cancer, and she went through all of the negativity and towards God, and at the end, it changed her life to having a positive relationship with God, and that kind of got my mind going about just getting closer to God and having more faith. After that, I started looking towards Christ and keeping my faith and love towards Him. We would pray to God and just ask for forgiveness and health and good news. Most of the time we looked at scriptures about how He feels about us and how we should feel about Him and how we should show our faith. A year later, after chemotherapy and radiation, I went through a MRI and they told me that my cancerous tumor had shrunk, and that kind of made me feel like that God was listening and hearing me. I actually rededicated my life and I got baptized. And after I got baptized, it made me feel like I was a new person. A year later, I went through another MRI and they told me that my cancerous tumor had grown back. As I was going through the second chemotherapy, my faith wasn't broken, it kept growing. I knew I was going to heaven to see Him, even if I did die.
Hallelujah. That's how you finish. That's how you finish. Please stand with me for the reading of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I hope that you have your handout and you're ready for today. Amen. Those that have found it, say, I've got it. Those still looking, say, give me a second, Pastor. Give me a second. All right. Let's go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. It reads, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Mm-hmm. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing." And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Put a tag on this text and preach from the subject, finish. Finish. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we thank You for this tremendous opportunity to gather together collectively as believers, as those who are curious about our belief, our friends, our family. Father, You've assembled us here this day, and we are so grateful. In fact, Father God, we don't know where we would be if You were not on our side. And so because of You, Father, we are here. Because of You, we have hope. Because of You, we recognize that we can and must finish. Now, Father, I pray that You would touch this time of preaching and teaching, that You'd be in the midst of us. Father, some of us are a little sleepy, so I pray that you would grant us a little dose of energy so that we don't fall off while the word is going forth. Amen. Then, Father, I pray against any distractions, that we would not be preoccupied with what is to come, that we would stay in the moment, experience this now for your glory. Father, help us to finish. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Worshipers, come on in here. Give them an opportunity to come on in. Wonderful, wonderful. Good to see all of you on today. Hallelujah. Make sure you get your sermon note cards as you all make your way into the sanctuary. Our message moment, and for those who are visiting or relatively new, the message moment gives us an opportunity to capture the essence of the message. So just in case you're not quite sure where the preacher is going, this will give you sort of a foundation for what we are preaching and teaching on today. Listen to the message moment for today. It says, we have been called, saved, and empowered by God to finish our race. That's so small and succinct. We can say that together. Ready, set, read. We have been called, saved, and empowered by God to finish our race. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The bottom line is, beloved, it is up to us to finish and finish well. It's up to us. I can remember the year was about 1989. Another number, but 1989, some of y'all caught that. And I was finishing up my fall semester in college. And I had some things on my transcript that I didn't fully understand. And so I went to meet with my advisor, and I thought that I was kind of doing okay academically. And it was at that moment that I realized that I was not doing as well as I had thought. And so we began to look at my transcript and, you know, my grades, and I thought, you know, things were okay. My GPA was looking pretty good, and everything was kind of coming together. Amen. And he commenced to tell me, he said, Stephen, I need you to understand something. He said, you see these eyes? On your grade report, on your trend, you see these eyes? I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, Stephen, let me help you understand something. An I is a status. It is not a grade. God. He says, Stephen, the I means that you have incomplete work that's due for those classes. Now, he said, I know you obviously think that somehow the I was good and you made it pass. And this, he said, but see, if you don't complete the work, Stephen Brown, those I's will be converted, y'all help me preach this, to F's. Yeah, I thought I was doing okay. My GPA hadn't been affected. You know why? Because it was registering I's. But had I not gone to visit him, taken the tough talk, I would have had F's in the place of those I's. And I want you to understand something, beloved. Because I's are a status and not a grade, some of us don't recognize that we too have work that we have to finish. Because when we examine the transcript of our lives, many of us have eyes in various areas. We have work that the Lord has called us to do, and for whatever reason, we kind of put it on pause. And we think that perhaps God, the greater, has forgotten. And I'm here to let you know, you and I have work to do. Y'all, we are not finished. But the tragedy is many of us live as if we are finished. And I'm learning, y'all, this is not necessarily a mature believer's thing. Some young folks think they finish. Y'all help me teach this. And as a consequence, we have this "it's left up to other folk" mentality. Let me tell you something. No one can fulfill the assignment that God has given to you. That's your assignment. So So I don't want you to think that just because the wrath of God had not come down on you, just because the Lord Jesus hadn't returned and raptured you, that you're all good. You still got some eyes. And you got to finish. You got to finish the work. See, I've discovered about God, God is a God of completion. As we read the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, the Lord, our God, goes through his entire creative process. He goes and creates all the things of this earth and of this world. And once he had finished, then God declared it is good. But he did not declare it is good and finished until he had finished his vision and his design. See, God is modeling for us what it looks like to start something and to finish something. And I'm here to serve notice that I need more of you to get ready to go to work to finish what God has started in your lives. Some of y'all came here with all kinds of big visions and ideas what the Lord can do in and through your life. Beloved, the work is yet to be fulfilled. And if we're going to honor God the way he deserves to be honored, we got to finish. Right. Somebody declare finish.
Finish.
Come on, say finish.
Finish.
So in our text for the morning, the Apostle Paul, he is imparting into his young protege, Timothy. He's trying to get Timothy ready for this pastorate that he has undertaken, the church in Ephesus. He wants Timothy to understand, listen, young man, there is some things I need you to do, and there is some stuff I need you to know. But if you get confused, says Paul, I need you to look at my life. Paul is declaring, I ain't got no regrets. I don't owe nobody, don't nobody owe me. As a matter of fact, everything I've done has been for the glory of God. And Paul is declaring, I can see my finish line.
Right.
And as a result, he is going to his finish line, having left it all on the field.
Right.
You know what it means to leave it all on the field? That means when the game is over, you're so tired, all you can do is sit. Woo! See, if you ain't got that tired yet, then chances are there's some work for you to do.
Right.
See, that's how you finish. That's how you finish. But before we deal with 2 Timothy chapter 4, I need us to rebuild our sermonic case for January. We've gone through several messages that have the similar theme that we've been dealing with. The first thing we discovered on the first Sunday of January is we must be fit and faithful. Oh, somebody say fit and faithful. Y'all write that down. We must be fit and faithful. Paul says, I'm in this race. And I'm going to do this race to the best of the ability that the Lord has given me. And I'm going to make sure that when I cross the line that I guard my heart so that I don't mess up what the Lord has done. Paul says, I'm going to beat my body if I have to. But I'm going to make sure that I serve the Lord with the best that I have. So that's what it means to be fit and faithful. Paul's like, I'm not going to play around with God's business. That was the first message. Second Sunday in January, we said we must be focused. Oh, I like that. We must be focused. Paul says, I'm pressing toward the mark. I've got my eye on the goal. I've got my eye on that for which God has saved me. And I ain't going to let nothing deter me. I'm going to forget the stuff that's behind. I don't care where I messed up yesterday, where I had a victory yesterday. Yesterday is yesterday. Paul says, I'm focused on my goal.
Right.
I'm trying to help you finish, y'all. Then the next week we talked about fight. That was last Sunday. We must fight. Paul says, you got to fight, young bro. You got to fight. I know it ain't fair sometimes, but sometimes you got to fight. You got to fight for your family. You got to fight for your faith. You got to fight for your marriage. You got to fight for those children. You got to fight. I'm feeling this by myself. And as a consequence of a willingness to fight, we participate in God's redemptive plan. We get to actually come into the ring and throw some blows for the kingdom. And so in our text for today, Paul is exhorting Timothy and us to get ready. To get ready. Somebody say, get ready.
Get ready.
He opens up 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and he says, He says, help me, Lord. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. He's talking to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I need you to get this. I need you to understand something. Foundationally in your life, get ready to write, Paul exhorts Timothy and us to prepare ourselves with the word. Get that down. Because you got to prepare yourself with the word. I know you got your, you got your social media game working. I get that. That's good. You got your career goals in order. That's fantastic. You know what you're going to do. Financially, you're working things out. He said, that's all good. He said, but above all, I need for you to get a harness, an understanding of the word. And that's a declaration for you and for me right now. So he goes on and say, he says, listen, for the time will come. That's in those first few verses. The time is going to come when people will not come to church like they used to.
Right.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
And when they come to church, they're not going to want to hear the pure, unadulterated gospel. They want to hear some stuff that makes them feel good.
Right.
So in order for them to hear stuff that makes them feel good, they're going to recruit preachers and teachers and puppets so that they can tell them what to preach. Oh, God. And so as a consequence, he's saying, listen, I need for you to know this, young Timothy. This time is going to come. And even greater than that, he said, they're going to have an itch. And they're going to need people to scratch their itches. So, there's going to be a time where they won't really proclaim the gospel that God loves you, but because of your sinfulness, you've not experienced God's love. Yeah, you are a sinner. And then third, that you got to receive the gift of salvation. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It's a gift that you got to receive. And if you don't receive the gift, there's some consequences that you will spend eternity separated from the Father. The old preacher said, hell. He said, that's going come a time when folk ain't going to preach that. And so they're going to go to churches where they don't preach that. Telling folks it's going to be your best year. Well, it ain't going to be your best year if you don't get in this word. You can have all kind of plans and platitudes. You can do a dream board. You can cut out magazine and make it all good. But if you ain't got the word, you're going to go to sleep on that dream board. Greater Bethlehem, get ready to write. It's time to get serious with Scripture. Get that down. It's time to get serious with Scripture. Let me take a sip of my tea. Hold on, y'all. It's time to get serious with Scripture. I'm not telling you got to walk around with a big Bible like me or like my grandmother had on her coffee table. You can have Scripture on your device. You can listen to Scripture while you're riding the bus, while you're driving, while you're on your break. You can put your AirPods in or whatever device you got. You can put those in and you can listen to Scripture. There are no excuses for us not to get serious with the Word of God. And the whole purpose of the fast was for us to understand and identify those time killers that take us away from God and His Word. That television is coming to get you. And I'm going to say this until I fit. I forgot the show is still on. Young and the Restless is going to take you out. I'm just joking, y'all. You have your Young and the Restless. I still can't believe Victor's still alive. That's just unbelievable. That don't make no sense. He was 50 when I was 5. How is he still alive? That makes no sense. What was I talking about? Scripture. And so we fasted so that we can offer a sacrifice to the Lord, but simultaneous to replace that sacrificial gift with something more beneficial. The Word. You got to get in that word, and you can't just do it haphazardly. It must be intentional. It must be a time set aside. You make an appointment with that word like you make an appointment for your doctor. You get on the calendar and you spend time in the Word. Say it's time to get serious with the Word. Secondly, he says it's time to get serious about ministry. Help me, Holy Spirit. He's talking to Timothy. He's pouring into Timothy. He said, listen, bro, there's going to come a time when the church ain't going to be the church that we recognize. And it's up to us who are defenders to protect God's intent for his church. Y'all, this ain't no social club. I heard a most powerful illustration the other day comparing battleships with cruise ships. Battleships with cruise ships. Cruise ships, I've never been on one, but I've heard. I can't speak like I've experienced this, but cruise ships, they say when you pay that one fee, it's everything is already inclusive. So you want to go and get you some dinner with the captain, you can do that. It's already paid for. You want to order room service, you call them, they come to the room, it's already paid for. You want to go to that little bar, it's already paid for. I ain't been there, I just heard. And somebody said all inclusive. I mean, there's a pool on it, there's all sorts of activity. It's a cruise ship. The ship is catered to the guests. But see, a battleship is a little different. He said the battleship is run by those on the ship. But the purpose of the battleship is going somewhere. And watch this. This is what he said blew my mind. He said, when you get ready to eat, see, the battleship is not to make you feel good, because they call the place where you eat on the battleship a mess hall. Oh, I need a witness up in here, because it's not designed for your pleasure. A battleship understands that it is designed for battle. And all I'm trying to get you to see is some of us are trying to make the church a cruise ship when the church has been called to be a battleship. We ain't here for your pleasure. We ain't here to serve all of what you want. We're going for battle. It's time to get serious about ministry. What you waiting on? What more we got to do? We'll talk about that next Sunday. It's time to get serious about scripture, time to get serious about ministry, but ultimately what Paul is talking to Timothy is, he says it's time to get serious about legacy. About legacy. Paul is pouring into this young man. That's legacy. He's getting this young man ready. He's discipling him, developing him, holding him accountable, imparting words of wisdom, leading by example so that he'll make sure that whoever he leaves it to can handle it. Somebody say legacy. Y'all, we have to get serious about legacy. What are we leaving the little folk around here? Are we preparing the little folk around here to take our seats? Take our places? Paul is modeling with crystal clarity what it means to leave a legacy. And so he's preparing Timothy for what is to come. And it ain't all good. As a matter of fact, a lot of it is bad. And that's why he says otherwhere in 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy, where he says, I know you kind of timid. I know it's a lot that we're giving to you. But you got to stir up that gift within you. 2 Timothy 1 and 3, you got to stir that thing up. And that's the exhortation for every single one of us. There is nowhere in Scripture where God promised this thing was going to be easy. But essentially, if we don't prepare for succeeding generations, if all that we do is cater towards us, then we have missed a significant purpose as to why we are here. So the text is moving. Paul, he exhorts him to get serious about the words, about scripture, it's about ministry, it's about legacy. And then Paul gives this powerful illustration, which I'm simply calling the art of finishing. Yeah, there's an art to finishing. There's an art. There's an art to it. Some folk know how to finish well. See, I like how Roger Staubach finished. You follow me? Roger Staubach finished while he was still winning. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me up in here. I'm going to sip some tea here. But other folk don't know when to quit. And they just stay in too long. And we watch and we feel, oh, Lord, why don't he just go and retire? Oh, God. Bro, just, oh, no. That, oh, yeah. And you see them in various sports. They barely sticking all out. They still trying to compete. Yeah, there's an art. There's an art to finishing. That don't mean you just abruptly quit. But you prepare your successor with a healthy transition. Look at verse 6. The art of finishing. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time for my departure is close." See, that's why I played that video of that young man in the beginning of the message. That young man had been healed of cancer. They rejoiced. In the process of that, he got right with his faith. And then the cancer returned. And he says, I don't know if I'm going to be healed. He said, but I do know where I'm going to end up. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a little boy. And he got it. So Paul says, I'm already being poured out. I'm wrestling. I'm struggling. As a drink offering. Get ready to write. Beloved, if you want to have the art of finishing, you have to know that you must fight till you've won. Get that down. You got to fight till you've won. You got to fight. I hear you, Sister Maribel, till you've won. Woof. Somebody say fight till you've won. Paul says, I'm being poured out. I get it. I'm almost empty. But Paul is suggesting with a little bit I got left, I'm going to make sure I still got a little fight in me. And so I need for you all to know, it doesn't matter your age, you still got a little bit left. Come on, y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a little bit left, baby. Come on, encourage you. You got a little bit left. You got a little bit left. Come on now. Paul says, you got to fight till you've won. How many of y'all like to watch boxing? Forgive me, Lord. I love it. We talked about it all the time. There's a movie called Million Dollar Baby that I watched several years ago. The boxing lady, her name was Maggie. And her coach, Clint Eastwood, he told her, one of the first lessons he told her is this. You don't stop fighting. You don't put your guard down ever while you're in the ring. He told her that. He said, don't you ever let your guard down while you're in the ring. He said, I don't care if the bell rings. I don't care if the ref is standing there. I don't care what's going on. As long as you're in that ring, you keep your guard up. Well, Maggie was tearing this girl up. She was killing her. Bell rang, and Maggie turned around and walked back to her ring. She's still in the ring. She let her guard down. And that girl came up from behind. Maggie fell, hit her head on the bar stool or the corner stool, broke her neck. Not only was the fight over, but her walking days were over. Beloved, you got to fight until you get out of the ring. You got to fight until you've won. And Paul uses this powerful illustration, being poured out. You got to fight until you're empty. So some of us, we got a little bit in us, but we act like we done fighting. Help me, Lord. Listen, you fight until the Lord says, well done. And I know you got a little bit left. I got to motivate you. Now, let me motivate you. I got to motivate you that you got to get that little bit that's left, whatever that residue is. You know, it's a little bit left in there. You got to get that out. So it's my job as your pastor through the leading of the Holy Spirit to love you, to motivate you, to not just sit on the bench, but to get in the game. Got to squeeze a little bit out. I was in the restroom with Simone, and she said, ain't no more toothpaste, Daddy. I said, what you talking about? She squeezed toothpaste all knotted. I said, no, baby. She said, this is how you get toothpaste out. I untwisted it. Y'all know, y'all ain't been poor. And then you take that finger and you rake that up.
You rake that up. Come on, somebody. You rake that thing on up. And then when it really gets, I'm gonna tell on myself, just feel the Lord, you put the cap on and you cut. Come on up in here. Y'all don't know about that. You cut. And then you put that toothbrush. All I'm trying to say is I need to roll some of y'all up. Push that little bit that's in there out so that you can fight to win. Y'all, hold on. Pastor, you got to fight till you won. He goes on to say, listen, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. That fight, that's agonized. I told you that a couple of weeks ago. It's a struggle. It's a fierce competition. It's where we get the word agony. So not only must you fight till you've won, secondly, you must be faithful to the finish. You got to be faithful to the finish. Faithful. Paul is so clear in this. He said, listen, man, I fought good. I fought the fight the Lord has called me to fight. That's the good fight. Paul says, I finished my race, the one that was marked out before me. I finished. And in finishing, I've remained faithful. See, that's how you experience the art of finishing. You have to understand that you got to be faithful even when it's not convenient. You got to be faithful even when other folk are falling by the wayside. You got to be faithful even when you don't feel like it. Nowhere in this text does Paul talk about how you feel, what you want to do, what is your personal truth for the moment. I don't care anything about that. Paul says you got to be faithful until you've crossed the finish line. But I told you before, some of us, we're not replenishing the energy. It goes back to serious about the word, serious about our spiritual growth and development. See, some of us, we're not finished physically. We're finished spiritually. We just spent. We have energy to go to work. We have energy to do all these other things. But when it comes to the things of God, I'm just tired. I just don't want to see y'all no more. I'm sorry. I got to say it like it is. I'm tired of looking at y'all, church folk. I come, ain't nothing changed. I'm doing the same thing the same way. I'm just tired of y'all. Love you. See, that's kind of spiritual burnout. And that's what happens when you don't replenish, when you don't renew. Word of God says you got to renew your minds and hearts and bodies in Christ Jesus. You got to have revival every now and then. Some of us just spent. I told my wife I was going to use this illustration. I woke up the other day and she put her phone next to me. I was brushing my teeth. Same toothpaste story. Amen, somebody. And I glanced over at her phone. And this is 6 o'clock in the morning. And the battery on her phone was red. That means she ain't had nothing left. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, and her battery is already on red. Let me bring it home. See, some of us are trying to start our days on red. And we don't seem to understand why we don't have the energy, the fortitude to finish a day. And I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. It's because you're starting on red. You've gone days and weeks and months without any intimacy with the Lord. Our church just did a spiritual fast and you said, I wish I would. It's because you on red. And as a consequence, you're just tired. I don't do this right now. And many of us need a spiritual revival. Yes, sir. Paul says, I fought, I finished, and I kept the faith. I'm finished. Last one. He says, there is reserved for me now. I like that. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Paul is suggesting there's going to be a heavenly reception when he gets there with heavenly rewards. I don't know about you, but I want that reception and I want my rewards. See, I do what I do for the glory of God. And that keeps my motives in checks. That keeps my intent in checks. That helps me to gauge how I interact with people. If I'm doing it for the glory of God, then I can anticipate, listen, things will be well here. Maybe not perfect, but they'll be well. But watch this. When I get to heaven. Let me give you this last one. Now, listen, you got to fight. Till you've won. What's that second one? You got to be faithful to the finish. Then thirdly and finally, listen, this is so important. You have to be focused on the prize. You got to be focused on the prize. See, this is what happens for the believer. We're already saved. So now we're working to ensure that there are going to be heavenly rewards and blessings. You're not working to get saved. You're working from your salvation. See, you got to put in some work, child of God, and God determines the kind of work that you do. That's why he put a calling on your life. Paul is like, listen, when I get to heaven, there is going to be a crown that has been fitted for me. The righteous judge is going to look to me on that day, and he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want to shout. I want to praise. I want to give God some glory. But let me tell you this story. There was a Greek race in the Olympics. It was a very unique race. It wasn't an ordinary race. See, the winner was not the one who finished first. Catch this now. The winner was the one who finished with his torch still lit. Oh, I feel that by myself. So as they ran the race, when they crossed the finish line, the one who crossed first with his torch lit won the race. Is there a witness in the house? I know that you want to finish, but I need you to finish with your torch lit. Y'all help me close this. When you cross the finish line, I want you to be able to get your crown that's been fitted just for me. We've talked about finishing before. When Jesus hung on the cross, he declared, it is finished. Give God the glory. Give God some praise. Why? Because we have an example of what it means to finish. As a matter of fact, throw your head back and just cry out, finish. 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 I ain't gonna stop. I ain't gonna quit until the Lord calls me home. And while I'm here, I'm gonna give it my best shot. When I cross the line, I wanna hear, well done, well done, well done. Hey, hey, oh yeah. Come on and give God some praise up in here. I ain't got nothing left, but you got a little praise left. Come on and bless the Lord over your soul right now. Come on and bless him. Why? Because he called you. He's empowered you. He's equipped you to finish. Come on, right there. Bless him. Bless him. Woo. Glory, glory, glory. I want you to make a declaration. Say, I'm going to finish. And if any of you have already quit on God, I challenge you right now. This is the moment that you can recommit yourself. You say, Pastor, I've been here, and I'll be honest, I ain't doing much. I like to come on Sundays, though. And I understand. Listen, I've understood. Everyone stand with me, please. Everyone stand with me, if you're able to. I understand. That many of you, that's just the extent of your involvement, and that's where you are. But I want to call you to something greater. I want to call you to something greater. This morning I met in my office with the young adults, and I'm still petitioning the young adults. Every fourth Sunday at 9 o'clock, if you're under the age of 40-something, find out where my office is. Meet me there at 9 o'clock. We're trying to encourage and build you. But watch this. We got something for everybody here. If you don't like to come on Wednesday evenings, you don't like to drive at night, hey, our Women's Day ministry is strong at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays. Amen, somebody. Amen. Pastor, I just can't drive at night. I can't do that no more. I understand that. We got something for you. And even after the Women's Day ministry meets, they walk right over the parking lot to have our noonday Bible study every Wednesday. We got something for everybody. And so you have to find that place to get engaged, get involved, and serving. Why? Because you got to finish. I know you got saved 20, 30 years ago. But don't be, as I said last week, saved and stuck. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody moving. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the conviction. Thank you for the truth. Father, we thank you for your word and Paul's example to each and every one of us. Lord, we got to fight till we've won. Father, we got to be faithful to the finish. Lord, just looking forward to the prize that you've reserved for each of us. He says in that text, I'm not the only one that's going to get the prize, but all of those who have rejoiced, believed in your coming. So it's all of us, Lord God, who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ. And Father, I want for your children, for them to get to heaven and have some significant rewards in place. So Father, help us to overcome whatever it is that hinders us from being fully engaged, fully committed to this, your church. Help us, Father God, by faith to move forward for your glory. Lord, we thank you so much for this moment of examination. Help us, Father God, to respond appropriately. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Let everybody say amen.